Today's message is entitled, Fear the Lord and Serve Him Faithfully. This is part one. I quickly realized in reading the scripture that there's no possible way to address all the issues in the scripture in 1 week. A few remarks before I read the scripture, so keep your finger in your Bible. Last week, we were four chapters before today's scripture, today's text. The people have asked for a king to fight their battles, and so they could be like all the other people around them, all the other nations. And even though the Lord warned them through Samuel, they replied, no, give us a king. In response, the Lord sent Samuel on a mission to recruit Saul. By looks, it was easy to see why. He literally stood above everyone else. He was a whole head taller than everybody else. Samuel anointed Saul with oil, and the Lord anointed Saul with the Spirit of the Lord. And the scripture said it changed his heart. Under the blessing of the Spirit of God, Saul rallied the people, raised an army, and he soundly defeated Nahash the Ammonite. So far, so good, it seems. All the tribes and clans of Israel, they gathered together. Samuel presented Saul as the man chosen by the Lord. And then the people shouted, long live the king. There was a great celebration by all the Israelites. And after Samuel establishes in this sermon his faithfulness to God and country, we come to today's scripture, 1 Samuel chapter 12, starting in the sixth verse. Then Samuel said to the people, it is the Lord who appointed Moses and Aaron and brought your forefathers up out of Egypt. Now then, stand here because I'm going to confront you with evidence before the Lord as to all the righteous acts performed by the Lord for you and for your fathers. After Jacob, referring to the nation of Israel, entered Egypt, they cried to the Lord for help. And the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, who brought your forefathers out of Egypt, and settled them in this place. And of course, this place is the chosen, the promised land for the chosen people. Verse 9. But they forgot the Lord their God. They forgot the Lord, their God. So he sold them into the hand of Sisera, the commander of the army of Hazor, and into the hands of the Philistines and the king of Moab, who fought against them. They cried out to the Lord and said, we have sinned. We have forsaken the Lord and served the Baals and the Ashtoreths. But now deliver us from the hands of our enemies, and we will serve you. Then the Lord sent Jerubbaal, otherwise known as Gideon, Barak, Jephthah, and Samuel. And he delivered you from the hands of your enemies on every side so that you live securely. But when you saw that Nahash, king of the Ammonites, was moving against you, you said to me, no, we want a king to rule over us, even though the Lord your God was your king. Now, here's the king you have chosen, the one you asked for. See, the Lord has set a king over you. If you fear the Lord and serve and obey him and do not rebel against his command, and if both you and the king who reigns over you follow the Lord your God, good. But if you do not obey the Lord, and if you rebel against his commands, his hand will be against you as it was against your fathers. Now then, stand still and see this great thing the Lord is about to do before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvest now? I will call upon the Lord to send thunder and rain, and you will realize what an evil thing you did in the eyes of the Lord when you asked for a king. Why was that? Because in asking for a king, they were rejecting God as king. Verse 18. Then Samuel called upon the Lord. And that same day, the Lord sent thunder and rain. So all the people stood in awe of the Lord and of Samuel. The people all said to Samuel, "Pray to the Lord your God for your servants so that we will not die. For we have added to our other sins the evil of asking for a king." "Do not be afraid," Samuel replied. "You have done all this evil, yet do not turn away from the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. Do not turn after useless idols. They can do you no good, nor can they rescue you, because they are useless. For the sake of his great name, the Lord will not reject his people, because the Lord was pleased to make you his own. As for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you. And I will teach you the way that is good and right. But be sure to fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. Consider what great things he has done for you. Yet, if you persist in doing evil, both you and your king will be swept away." The word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Lord Almighty, awesome, powerful, creator, Lord of all, we thank you for the story of your chosen people, for your faithful prophets, and for all that's recorded for us in your word, wholly inspired, inerrant, sufficient for all things having to do with salvation, powerful and effective, Lord, always accomplishing the purposes for which you sent it out. Lord, may God, the Holy Spirit, be upon us so we can see ourselves in this crowd of Israelites. We can see the promises that are being made, that we can see the application for us today, now that the Lord Jesus has come and saved us. Heavenly Father, may our hearts and minds be prepared to see all that you desire to reveal. Do not let this preacher get in your way. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Fear the Lord and serve him faithfully. Is it not a rule of life that our zeal, our love, our gratitude to God is like molten lava? When we first give ourselves over to the compelling love of the Lord, our zeal, love, and gratitude are hot and moving into the world. But then it cools, hardens, stops. It becomes a rock. It is like a monument to what once was a living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is in Samuel's directive that we find the key. Verse 14, fear the Lord and serve and obey him. Verse 24, fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. Consider what great things he has done for you. In doing these things, we maintain the connection, the relationship, the source of all love. We keep the heat and the light and the activity. Samuel confronts Israel with their apostasy. They're falling away from Yahweh, God, the I Am. He says to them, they must consider, which means to remember. They must respond to the great things that God has done for them. He reviews the history. And this process of remembering what God has done is regularly exhorted throughout Scripture. Samuel starts with Moses and Aaron being appointed to bring out the people of Israel out of bondage that they were in Egypt. The pattern is consistent. The people cry out to the Lord God hears their cry, effects rescue, and leads them into the promised land. But the people forgot the Lord their God. The people forgot the Lord their God. Often, we are no better than the Israelites. Our memories are short-lived. We forget what Jesus did, is doing, and will do. And we forget the ministry of God, the Holy Spirit, now. Today, we use Psalm 107 for our responsive reading. And because it has 43 verses, we only used a portion of it. But it, too, is a call to remember how great our God is to his children. And Psalm 107 demonstrates this pattern, this silly cycle to which humans are prone, including us. Verses 4 through 6, which was in our responsive portion. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. Verses 12 and 13. So he subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. Verses 17 through 19. Some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed all food and drew near the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. Verses 26 through 28. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunken men. They were at their wits' end. So what did they do? They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. And in verse 43, the closing verse of Psalm 107, whoever is wise, let him heed these things and consider the great love of the Lord. Consider the great love of the Lord. Considering the great love of the Lord is why we had our special music today. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son, who yielded his life, our redemption to win, and open the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son and give him the glory. Great things he hath done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood to every believer. The promise of God, the vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. Great things he hath taught us, great things he hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. When Christians remember and embrace the truth given in this hymn, we are empowered in a special way. We are able to walk by faith and not by sight, to believe what God is saying and not what the world is saying. And the truer our walk and the more filled we are with God, the Holy Spirit, when we walk by this faith. The more filled then that we are with God, the Holy Spirit, then the better equipped we are to walk by faith, to be obedient. It builds right? The more we walk under submission to God, the Holy Spirit, the more we are blessed in that, empowered to live the way God wants us to live. Conversely, disobedience to God's will, purposes, and precepts quenches the Holy Spirit and propels us off the true path. It can cause the molten lava to harden quickly instead of the heat being fueled by faith. This is one of the reasons that we worship together. It helps us to rightly consider who God is and who we are. We get so many conflicting and deceptive messages from the enemy and the world. None of us is strong enough to go it alone. The Apostle Peter tells us, your enemy, the devil, crawls around your line looking for someone to devour. Don't be that someone. Paul exhorts Christians in Romans, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. In the book of Hebrews, there's a section, chapter 10, let us come near to the Lord. We have then, my brothers and sisters, complete freedom to go into the most holy place by means of the death of Jesus. He opened for us a new way, a living way, through the curtain, that is, through his own body. We have a great priest in charge of the house of God. So let us come near to God with a sincere heart and a sure faith, with hearts that have been purified from a guilty conscience and with bodies washed with clean water. Let us hold firmly to the hope we profess, because we can trust God to keep his promise. Let us be concerned for one another, to help one another, to show love, and to do good. Let us not give up the habit of meeting together as some are. Instead, let us encourage one another all the more, since you see that the day of the Lord is coming near. Unlike Christians, the Jews lived a works religion. They believed they earned their forgiveness and God's blessing. Well, certainly, Yahweh made them a covenant people. And when they honored the covenant, many scriptures told them that the Lord would bless them, and disobedience brought God's displeasures and wrath. And I will just mention Saul's warning in the 15th verse, but if you do not obey the Lord, and if you rebel against his commands, his hand will be against you as it was against your fathers. Can you imagine God's hand against you? Do any of us want that? Certainly not. Samuel pronounced God's judgment, which is followed by a miraculous demonstration of thunder and rain during the wheat harvest on that very day. Rain was very rare then during the harvest. We must realize that God's commandments are not meant to be arbitrary restrictions, that they are meant for our own good. And following them, we live into who we are called to be. People set apart, holy, and righteous. It naturally follows that it should be the desire of our hearts to live the Christian life. Out of gratitude, out of love, out of a desire to glorify our Savior, we should want to be disciples of Jesus. Disciples make disciples. To live the Christian life is no exemption from hardships and trials. Give you one proof of that. Romans 8, starting verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Does that sound like we're going to be wrapped in bubble wrap and protected from the world? No. No, we need to confront the world in love and truth. But we are not of the world, but we must live in the world. And when we live it rightly, we will glorify our Lord. But becoming a Christian, as you all know in your own lives, is not promise a pass and go, collect your $200, right? Sometimes you have to pay the $200. Forming a true Christian community will bless us individually and that group and those that watch us from secular society. Those Christians see how they love one another. We need each other to exhort and to encourage one another. We need to pray for one another. We need to worship together in those hardships and trials that will come. We will be able to manifest the fruit of the Spirit, which, as you all know, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. It seems that the issue of human suffering must be addressed to put things in context. Great minds have grappled, debated, and taught about the conundrum of a loving and benevolent God in a world filled with pain, grief, and suffering. I will only make a couple of very brief points as they apply to this text. Now, I have heard and read many sermons where the preacher denies that God could be the source of pain or disaster. Those preachers must not have read today's text where God sends punishment to demonstrate the people's need to fear the Lord. They needed this strong reminder, these people that had a terrible habit. What was that terrible habit? They forgot the Lord. Those preachers must not have read most of the Old Testament. Just a few minutes in the minor prophets would quickly diminish their position. So they tend to argue that the God of the New Testament is different, but that would deny a tenet of the character of God, a tenet of scripture, that God is immutable, which means he is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Those preachers must not have read Psalm 107, and they must not have read the book of Revelation. Verse 14, fear the Lord and serve and obey him. Verse 24, fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. Consider what great things he has done for you. King David celebrated in Psalm 40, many, O Lord my God, are the wonders you have done. The things you planned for us, no one could recount to you. Were I to speak and tell of them, they would be too many to declare. Today, we have focused on the call to consider and respond to all of God's goodness. We addressed the place of obedience and the necessity of faith to live out the Christian life. Next week, we will explore fear of the Lord. What is it? What does it mean? How does it apply? And serving his kingdom. Now, maybe you are in the midst of a trial right now and having trouble seeing God's hand in your situation. I tell you to memorize and appropriate, take hold of Romans 8:28, which most of you, or many of you probably know. And we know that in all things, God works for good for those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. I'm calling you to memorize that scripture. And there will be a test next week. No, I'm serious. There will be a test next week. I call on you to walk by faith and not by sight. I encourage you to share with your faith family, asking them to pray for you, to come alongside of you, to help you in your faith walk. Be still, my soul. The hour is hastening on. When we shall be forever with the Lord, when disappointment, grief, and fear are gone, sorrow forgotten, love's purest joys restored. Be still, my soul, when change and tears are past, all safe and blessed, we shall meet at last. Amen. 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 Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much when we think of all that you have done for us. Lord, I pray that God the Holy Spirit would work on hearts this week, that we would be deliberate and reflective to see where you have worked in our lives, to imagine what might have been otherwise, to be grateful, to be filled once again, to overflowing, knowing how much you love us, the height, the breadth, the depth of an immeasurable love. Give us a spirit to respond, to return that love. Love of God and love of neighbor. I pray this all in Jesus' name. And all God's people say,
amen.
Amen. If you take the bulletin, turn to page 8, the top. You'll find Romans 8:28, the verse I'm asking you to memorize this week. And we will recite that together without the cheat sheet next Sunday. That'll be the test. So I ask you to do this for your own blessing. It would become part of who you are. It would take root and help you trust in your God. Now, there are pencils in the pew. I have more here. I put pencils up on the shelf up there, Matt. I'm going to ask you right now, I'm going to do it myself, to just write out below a couple of bullets. Consider what great things God has done for you. And then this week, you can work on that some more. So let's just take a couple minutes now to do this.